You are making the world a better place by listening to the Joy of Living podcast. This is your guide to achieving a more purposeful, powerful, and positive life. Join Barry Shore in unlocking the best version of you and becoming happier, healthier, and wealthier. And now, here's your ambassador of joy, Barry Shore.
Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. You're good-looking, so looking for and finding the good. You found the good in abundance because you consciously tuned into the Joy of Living with your host, Barry Shore, the ambassador of joy. Notice I didn't say the ambassador of joy. The ambassador of joy. And you tuned in because you know your family and your friends were told you have over 503,000 people around the world right now listening, tuning in. By the time we bring on our amazing guest, wonderful Dr. Joel Freeman, you'll just be on the edge of your seat with this one. You tuned in because you care the most in the entire world about you. That's right. That's a great thing, by the way, because when you become the best you, you make the world a better place. You build more bridges of harmony, create more joy, happiness, peace, and love. And you know that in this show, we discuss the three fundamentals of life. And when you utilize, leverage these three fundamentals of life, you will be happier, healthier, and wealthier. I guarantee it, or your money back. So it's important to understand, what are the three fundamentals of life? Number one, your life has purpose. And when you lead a purpose-driven life, number two happens. In this case, good number two. You go MAD. Now, MAD is a wonderful acronym. It stands for make a difference. Lead a purpose-driven life, you make a difference in the world. And the third fundamental is to uncover the power and the sequence of everyday words and terms. Simple example. Our show is carried throughout the world. We love you for that. Throughout the world, over the internet. Now, if you ask anybody, what does WWW stand for? They'll tell you it has to do with the internet. Now, factually speaking, they're correct. However, in our world, the world of the positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant, WWW stands for What a Wonderful World. And what a is a word, right? W-H-A-T-A. And a big thank you and a tip of the hat to Satchmo, Louis Armstrong, for enabling that song, What a Wonderful World, to go viral and not touch just tens of millions or hundreds of millions of billions of people around the planet. And whenever you hear the opening lines or the opening song of What a Wonderful World, what do you do right away? You can't help it. You smile. Now, smile is one of the most important words you could ever internalize, utilize, and leverage in your life, because smile stands for seeing miracles in life every day. That's right, seeing miracles in life every day. Now, I got to tell you, I am privileged to be able to speak to people around the world on a regular basis, certainly through the medium of the internet, like podcasts and such, and in person. Now, I recently spoke to a group of 1,172 people, and I'm telling the story about Barry Shore. I'm talking about seeing miracles in life every day. And some people raise their hand and say, hey, Barry Shore, I've been here for hours where I haven't seen any miracles. And I asked them, are you here? Can you hear? Can you stand still? I can't do that. Can you walk? I can barely do that. You have water, drink, your food, take place, sleep, family, friends. Every single one of those is a miracle. And what's the proof? Simple proof. 1 million people didn't get out of bed this morning. You know why? They died. By definition, if you're here, you're listening or watching, you didn't. Therefore, you have an obligation to live life to the full. Let me tell you a quick story. It's about me. Imagine if you can, I'm standing up in the morning, completely healthy and hearty, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. And in the evening, I'm in the hospital, totally, completely paralyzed from the neck down. Nothing in my body moved. It was not from an automobile accident, and it wasn't a spinal injury. It was a rare disease, which I never heard of the day before, took over my body and rendered me what's called quadriplegic. Nothing in my body moved. I could only communicate by blinking my eyes. I was 144 days in the hospital. I was on a hospital bed in my own home for 2 years. I couldn't move. I was in a wheelchair for 4 years. I had braces on both my legs, from my hips to my ankles. That was progress. Thank God today I'm able to be vertical ambulatory with the help of a 7-foot walking wand. So I'm a tripod, not a biped. Can't walk up a stair by myself. Can't walk up a curb by myself. I have help 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you hear my voice. positive, purposeful, powerful, pleasant, all because of one word, smile, seeing miracles in life every day. I got to tell you a quick story, though. My eight-year-old niece comes over to me a few weeks ago and says, Uncle Barry, can we spell smile, S-M-I-E-L? I thought about it. Smile, sounds the same. Why not? Ask her, how come? She says, because then it would stand for seeing miracles in everyday life. Out of the mouth of an eight-year-old. But what was she doing? She was creating the kind of world that she wants to live in. Now, CREATE is a fabulous acronym. It stands for Causing Rethinking, Enabling All to Excel. It's called a shift in perspective. Now, when I've been working with people for more than 50 years, and I can tell you something. When they first come to me and talk about people that are very successful on paper in every way whatsoever, they happen to have dropped the F and shift, and the other stuff happens. You got to keep your F's in place. You want to shift your perspective just a little bit, and then you can internalize, utilize, and leverage the six most important words you'll ever learn. And these are choice, not chance, determines your destiny. Choice, how you choose to respond in any given situation, will determine your path in life and your trajectory. Now, I got to warn you before we bring on our amazing guest, Joel Freeman. I got to tell people that are new to the show, and thank you for urging your family and friends to come. We have over 20,000 people every other show. We'll be close. We'll probably be at a million by the end of the year. It's really exciting. And I want you to share this with five people. Share this with five people just because it really makes a difference. Whoops, I hit the wrong button. I love it when technology works, right? So I want you to follow us on Spotify and an Apple and share us with five people. You want to do it with 50 or 100, it's up to you, but at least five. So before we bring on wonderful Joel Freeman, I want to warn everybody that I do use a lot of four-letter words. I even use the four-letter F-U word, and I do it because of the shock value and it's fun. Now, the four-letter words, of course, that we use, because we live in the world of the positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant, are love, life, hope, play, free, gift, swim, and the four-letter F-U word is fun. Fun, that's right, F-U, capital N, capital N. Now, of course, some people right away raise their hand and say, Barry Shore, fun's only spelled with three letters. Not in our world. The world of the positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant, fun is spelled F-U, capital N, capital N. So after the show, when you see your family and friends, I want you to point your finger, have a big smile on your face, a twinkle in your eye, and say, F-U, everybody. But remember to add capital N, capital N. Say, where'd you get that? You got their attention. Now you can talk to them about the amazing insights that you heard from wonderful Joel. So before we bring them on, I just want to urge everybody to do the following. This will make you happier, healthier, and wealthier. Use the two most powerful words in the English language three times a day from now and the rest of your life. And these two words are thank you, thank you,
thank you.
Thanks stands for to harmonize and nurture kindness. To harmonize and nurture kindness. Kind is a wonderful acronym that stands for keep inspiring noble deeds. I can't think of anybody that inspires noble deeds that I want to share with you more. The wonderful Joel.
How you doing? Here we are.
Say hello to 8,922 people around the world.
It's incredible. Well, I'm inspired right now. Just the first few minutes.
When was the last time somebody said F you to you and you laughed?
Oh, that's a whole different paradigm shift.
Yes, that's what we're talking about. So you are the agent of paradigm shift. I'm going to tell you three things only about Joel, because I started telling you everything, it would take the rest of the show. These are the three things. Ready? He is a solutionist. You ask what that is? Well, you'll find out. He's a solutionist. He's the president of the Rosetta Universe, co-founder and co-author of Black History 365, which I'm telling you, I'm privileged to have heard him on the David Webb Show with his co-author and such. He's also a husband, a father, and a grandfather, and what I like a lot about him, off-key singer and lousy dancer. So we're in the same club, kid.
Yes, we are.
So welcome, wonderful Joel. Let's just jump right in and talk about what you're going to do, which is the ability for people to have a shift in perspective. Keep that up. And it's all about something called the Rosetta Stone. So let's presume for the moment that there are only two people out of 511,000 people around the world listening that know what the Rosetta Stone really is. So give us the brief history and why it makes a difference to anybody's life today.
Well, here we see in this booklet, this giant Rosetta Stone, and this young person just kind of with a light trying to figure it out. And on the back is one of my replicas of the Rosetta Stone. And this particular replica, it's representative of the real Rosetta Stone. And I'll refer to it in a little bit more. But the real Rosetta Stone is in the country of Great Britain at the British Museum. It weighs 1,700 pounds. It's 45 inches tall, 30 inches wide, 11 inches thick. And on the Rosetta Stone, there are three inscriptions. And we have the top part is hieroglyphics. The middle part is a demotic script. It comes from the Greek word demos. We get the word democracy from it. So the common people use it. It's a hieratic cursive form of hieroglyphics. It's really the same language, but a different form. And then we have Greek. Why Greek? Because Alexander the Great conquered Egypt. And that became the language of the realm. So even in the three inscriptions, they were reaching out to, first of all, to the religious class with hieroglyphics, which means priestly carving in the Greek language, the common folks, everyday people, and then finally the kind of the intelligentsia, the business class, the folks that were involved in government. And so just in the way that they designed this, now, what was the purpose of the stone? The purpose was to provide a proclamation to a young man by the name of Ptolemy the Fifth. He was 14 years of age. His father had passed away, and he was kind of stuck here as the regent of Egypt. Now, we know in Egypt that it started with Narmer-Menes back in the first dynasty. And he's the one that helped to open up the Delta region in the northern part of Egypt, which helped with the farming, agriculture, all kinds of different things in the north. And so from there are over 30 plus dynasties. But around the 25th dynasty, there was a tremendous fall in Egypt. The Medo-Persians took over. There was a brief Egyptian revival. And then we have the Ptolemaic, the Hellenistic, the Greek Empire taking over with Alexander the Great. And this is during a time of the Ptolemaic Empire. The young man, he's now regent. And what happened is that the priests in Lycopolis.
Let me put you on pause for a moment, because you gave us so much and so little. I want to unpack a few things. So for those of you who don't know, regent in our language would be the king.
Yes.
He had to report to somebody else. So here you have a 14-year-old sitting on the throne of a large country. So let's also put in perspective, Egypt, we'll call it this way, was the breadbasket of the ancient world.
That's right.
In other words, don't think of Egypt today, which is the poor, somewhat backward country that can barely feed itself, has to import food. In those times, which now goes back many, let's say, almost, you know, just plus minus 2,000 years, 2,200 years, it was the breadbasket of the world. As Joel pointed out, the Delta region became the center of agriculture, which fed everybody. So
yes.
The Greeks wanted it, they controlled it. And when you control something, it's that your language. So now it's important to understand that this stone, and I don't know why they didn't do it on some papyrus instead of a stone, 1,700 pound slab, but this stone was the ability to reach, as Joel pointed out, everyone, whatever language you knew or was able to read or speak. So now it could work with everybody. So it was the mechanism for peoples to interact on a common level, because everybody wanted the same thing. How do we produce the most from the land to feed people and still maintain power? Is that fair to say, Joel?
Yes. The proclamation on the stone was basically saying that the priests, they had a rebellion and they didn't want to pay temple taxes. And this is what's written on the stone itself.
Okay, I want to interrupt you. He said the word taxes. And I'm just because it's been an issue with people from the beginning of
time. That's right. That's right. Taxation without representation or proper representation. That's what they were feeling, especially being ruled by the Ptolemaic Empire. They were feeling misrepresented and all that kind of stuff. So you had a lot of trouble in the land because of that.
Okay, so let's talk about this large stone was given over as a mechanism for people to communicate and to air their grievances, let's say, as it were. And now, fast forward, the Ptolemy, the 14-year-old empire falls apart, Alexander the Great falls away, you know, life goes on. And many centuries pass, and what happened to the stone? Did it just hang around in a museum in Egypt? No, I guess it gets buried in the sands of time. That's fair to say?
Yes, what happened is it just got lost. And some believe it could have become a ship's ballast. They weren't sure exactly what happened to it, but ended up in Rosetta. And the interesting thing about it is that they knew what the Greek said, but they didn't know what the other part said, because this esoteric language of hieroglyphics had been lost. And so what happened was that, of course, you have the Napoleonic Egyptian military campaign. 1798 is when that started. And Napoleon comes over with his soldiers. They defeat Alexandria very quickly. And then they make an incursion into the south in Cairo. And then they figured, well, you know, what's really important is the British are coming. And the British did come. They took out like 13 ships and landlocked the French.
Let me say, so this had nothing to do with the Revolutionary War. The British are coming. The British are coming. Here we have almost 1800, 1798, 99. And Napoleon, as a very young man, I don't think he was more than 25 at the time, right? He wasn't yet Napoleon the Emperor. He decided, why are they going to conquer Egypt? Well, first of all, because it's there. And he's a young man who wants to conquer things. And the second thing is because Egypt still could provide a lot of food, a lot of grain. And now he's stuck because the British are blockading him. So you have an interesting international situation that happened plus minus 200 years ago. And now something serendipitous happens that is beneficial for the world. And again, everybody listen, you might think, well, this is just history. I don't need this. Oh, yes, you do, because the Rosetta Stone is going to unlock the power in your life. So now let's find out how it was found, what happened, and why does it make a difference for anybody listening?
Beautiful questions. How it was found is that they had a situation where they wanted to cut off the ability of the British to come down the Nile and make a surgical strike into Cairo, which is about 100 miles south. And so they had this place called Rosetta, which is right on when you go to Rosetta, I've been there, and you can actually see the mouth of the Mediterranean opening up there. And so ships would have come right down that pass there. But you can easily take a ship out with a cannon from the shores of Rosetta. So they found this old building, and they started clearing out the foundation of this building to build what was later become known as Fort Julian. And in the process, they found this big stone, the Rosetta Stone, and they were wondering what to do with this. And so what happened is that they saw the stone, and then someone read on the back of it. They read the Greek part, and they said, wait a minute. This is going to be easy peasy lemon squeezy. Because the last sentence in the Greek says that we are going that the same thing will be inscribed in all three inscriptions. And so they said, wait a minute, this is going to be easy. So
this is the French army, and somebody in the French army could read Greek and say, we have something here that's more, it's the famous line, it's Greek to me. Well, it is Greek to that person. one of the men in Napoleon's army could read the Greek and understand that this had value far above the ability of taking a stone and using it for building. So on that note, that high note, don't go, everybody, because we come back, Joel's going to explain why the Rosetta Stone will help unlock the secrets of your life. We write that we have sponsors that we love, and we wouldn't have them if we didn't think they're worthy of your time and attention. So pay attention. We'll be right back after this brief message. Don't go away. The secrets of life are coming.
Hello, skincare connoisseurs. If you think you have tried everything in skincare, you are going to love what I am about to tell you. I'm pharmacist Benjamin I. Fuchs. I'm a dermatology pharmacist. And what I've discovered in my compounding pharmacy after decades of working with patients with skin traumas and skin diseases is the missing link in skincare is topical essential nutrition. And because of this missing link, we're not maximizing the potential of topical skincare. We're leaving skin beauty and skin health on the table. And that's why I formulated my Truth Treatments. Listen, the skin's an organ. It needs and wants and craves nutrients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, fatty acids, and plant-derived minerals, and now it can get them in super high concentrations in my Truth Treatments. Originally formulated for dermatologists and their patients, now they're available to you. Check them out today at truthtreatments.com, and I know you are going to love the truth.
Good day. Beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Maybe good-looking, she always looking for finding the good. Our cup runneth over with good.
And goodness.
And he is talking about something called the Rosetta Stone, which seems esoteric, except I can promise you right now in the next few minutes, you're going to learn why it's important to you, because not only did it unlock the power of us to read ancient hieroglyphics and other languages and such have become aware of the greatness of the Egyptian Empire, but why the Rosetta Stone is going to unlock secrets for you, because that's what Joel's all about, unlocking secrets of life for you. So here we are, Joel. We got this 1,700-pound slab. There's three languages on it. Why should that make a difference to anybody listening today?
Well, what happened is that it did unlock the secrets of ancient Egypt. And here's the secret behind the secret, is it took 23 years from 1799 to 1822 to figure this out. And this became like an international treasure hunt. And you had people from even prior to this in the 9th century, you had an Arab, Washia, and some other Arabs in the 10th century. You had folks, Zoega, who was from a priest from Denmark. You had a Kircher, a gentleman from Germany. All kinds of people prior to this were trying to crack the code to hieroglyphics. And now for the first time, they knew what it said because they understood the Greek. And so once they knew the Greek, they said, okay, how are we going to solve this problem? And here's where, if I can fast forward, what became interesting to me is I began to think about, you know, what it takes to solve problems and to be a problem solver, solutionist, as you mentioned earlier. And I think it's not just something, especially in this day and age with ChatGPT and quantum computing and spatial computing, all these different things where everything is at our fingertips. Excuse me, I've got an allergy situation. So I have some coughs every once in a while. I don't want to bore our audience with me coughing, but what happened is that they went through this whole process where Thomas Young in Great Britain came up with some clues. De Saussay came up with some clues in France. We had Akerblad, Johan Jakerblad from Sweden came up with some clues. But there's one guy in the middle of it all. His name was Jean Champollion. As a young kid, 15, 16 years of age, he could understand Farsi, understood Arabic, Hebrew, Coptic. He had like 16 languages he understood at a young age. When he heard about the Rosetta Stone, he said within himself, I'm going to be the one who's going to crack the code to hieroglyphics. I'm going to figure this out. And so he became almost obsessed with this. I would say the word obsessed is the right word.
Let me put you on pause for a moment because I want everybody to understand something. Joel just told us about a 15, 16-year-old who was capable of not only cracking the code, and here's what I want everybody to hear, because most of the people listening are in the 15 to 25-year-old range. It's all about you. This is how you should think.
Brilliant point.
You can crack the code. It's called life. There's nothing that's going to stop you from being the best you possible. Here we have a 15, 16-year-old working and saying, I'm obsessed with cracking this code. Everybody in life is obsessed with cracking the code of how can I be the best person I can be? Okay, that might mean how can I make the most money? Because I want to give. It's about learning how to be a giver. So now you have this wonderful 15, 16-year-old kid who's a giver because he wants to crack the code and share with the world.
Yes.
How long does it take him? And again, what does this mean? Why is it obsessing you, Joel, so that you are now becoming the person who is bringing the secrets of the Rosetta Stone to the world? Why? How does it upset? How does it capture you?
It's because everyone in who's successful, however one defines it, but is successful in terms of helping other people, and on whether it's providing goods or services, they are cracking codes. They are solving problems. And when we cease to solve problems, we're out of business. For instance, your show cracks the code for many people, over 500,000 people from around the world. They tune in because you're helping to crack codes for them. You're helping to unlock secrets. They're saying, man, if Barry can make it, I can make it. Look at all that's been thrown against Barry's life and his experience, his physicality and everything else. And look at his positive attitude. And so in an airline, they're cracking the code of taking people from, 300 or 400 people from point A to point B safely. We have whatever business it is. So when it comes down to solving problems, I think what's important is that we engage our human brain, because our God-given human brain, there's nothing like it in the world. We have, of course, quantum computing. We have, different things that I mentioned before, AI and all the rest of it. I think it, just like Cleveland Clinic says, they say that our human muscles can atrophy without resistance for 2 to 3 weeks. Our brains also, if you've ever seen a brain scan of a brain that has atrophied, it's not a beautiful sight. And so the whole idea of saying we need problems, we need to have resistance in order to retain and build our human brains, okay, and to retain the flexibility in our brains.
Pause, because you are waxing eloquent. It's so fabulous. Everybody listening, hear what he says? People think the word problem. They think, oh, my gosh, problem. And Joel is saying, problems. We love problems.
Come on.
Yes, because everything that comes is like splitting the sea. When the Israelites, the Jews, walked through the sea that was split, that was a metaphor for the world to understand that no matter what's in your life, the seas will split when you use your mind and say, what can we do? What can I do? By the way, sometimes you can't. Okay, but that's understanding that you solved the problem. It's always being involved. By the way, Joel, since we talk about acronyms a lot, I did create an acronym for your name during the break. Can I share it with you?
Please do.
Joel, J-O-E-L, stands for Joy Opens Enormous Love.
I love it.
That's what you do, because what you just shared with people around the world is that no matter how much AI, which is people call it artificial intelligence, I call it AI means always improving.
Mm, okay.
That's what you're talking about. And the human capability is as big as artificial on a certain level, our creativity.
Yes.
That's what you're alluding to. Is that correct? The ability to see no matter what the problem is and welcoming problems because it builds muscle, as it were. Is that fair to say?
It's very fair to say. For instance, I helped develop a curriculum called Black History 365. And one of the things about it is, people protest in different ways. There's wonderful ways to protest, writing songs, marching peacefully, and all these different other ways to protest against power that is misusing power. their power and their legislation and all the rest. And so the way I protest is by coming up with solutions. And to so it's a different kind of anarchy that I am involved in. And I always look for things when people are complaining about something, maybe even for centuries or for decades, my thought is, okay, let's walk straight into this and then deal with it. Well, what we developed in this textbook, this book, by the way, weighs 5.5 pounds, over 1,200 QR codes throughout, over 2,500 images. And one of the things that we do here is we have something called the elephant experience. We walk straight into issues like Uncle Tom, three-fifths of a human being, reparations, should we tear the statues down? And we're talking to people from around the world and Pakistan and India and UK and everything else. Every culture has their own issues, their own elephants in the room. Okay, and so
let's talk about elephants a moment. For those of you who are only listening, and that's all, it's great, of course. I want to make mention that Joel Freeman is the co-author with another man. Joel himself is Caucasian. That means he's not black. he wrote the book with his co-author, who's
Dr. Walter Milton. Yes.
Right. Who is black. So yes. The important thing here is that the elephant, well, wait a minute, you can't have a white man writing a book about black history. Like, hello, we're talking about human beings. There is no such thing as color when it comes to solving problems that affect the human condition. That was my statement.
Yes.
And you see it right here and now.
And that's why the Rosetta Stone is so inspiring to me, because it's about taking an ancient artifact and turning it into a modern metaphor for problem solving and critical thinking. And so that's transcendent. That deals with issues around finances, race relations, our interpersonal relations, dealing with mechanical, technical problems, and all the different elements that come with it. And so what I've done is I've developed an acronym out of the word Rosetta.
Okay, I want to hear the acronym, and I want to make sure everybody understands that Joel just made his beautiful move from what we were talking about and why now the Rosetta Stone matters to you. You, the one listening, because you see that he said, I took an ancient artifact and recognized that it gave people, humans, the ability to understand other cultures, other languages. It cracked the code, what we tend to call the elephant in the room, that people don't like to identify because it causes problems. And Joel said, problems, that's my middle name. We love problems. By the way, you see it the most in professional sports. Joel was, I'm going to just make mention that we'll talk about another time. Joel was the chaplain, the pastor, the spiritual leader or the go-to for a professional basketball team for more than a decade. I mean, 20 years almost, right?
That's right.
If there's anything that's involved with professional sports that people don't see, it's problems. In other words, you're going against another team. How do you defend against that, or how do you make offense when you see things moving and it has to be done in a split second? So it's all about problem solving. Am I correct when I'm saying this?
Absolutely, yes. And that's what I developed was an acronym. I don't know if people can see this very well, but an acronym where you have the R stands for recognize the problem. And I'm going to just go real quickly. Obtain information. S, specify goals. E, evaluate options. T, test solutions. T, take action. And then assess the results. So that's kind of like taking a stone, smooth stone in a pond and skipping it 7 times on the water. It gives us kind of a brief overview. With the R, what I find it's important is it's not only important to identify the problem, but also to identify the type of problem and then the intensity of the problem. And then also to never forget the need for emotional intelligence in approaching the problem. Because what happens many times is that people, you know, who are problem solvers, it's like, let's get right to it. You know, with let's say a husband and wife, wife says, I've got a problem. And then all she wants is a hug. She doesn't want the solution. She wants a hug. And maybe 24, 48 hours, a wise husband comes and puts his arm around his wife and says, I've been thinking about what you brought up the other day or yesterday. And is this a good moment to talk about it? And so the whole idea is helping people, all of us, to understand how to go about this. So what I've done is I've developed something called FIRE Maps. And that's 8 letters, an acronym, which gets into the F for financial and so on.
Before you go there. So I want you to know, Joel, that some people that have not been listening for a while are feverishly taking notes. Don't write anything down. You want to know about what we're discussing is in the show notes. Everything else, Joel, is in the show notes. What you really want to do is lean in and let it flow around you, over you, and say, wow.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Wonderful. I can't believe that somebody's actually addressing me and helping me solve my problems. Everybody in the world has and will always have issues, problems. They may be the size of a large elephant. They may be a baby elephant. Doesn't matter. There'll be elephants. And you know something? They'll always be there. It's like the sea splitting. Once the sea splits and you walk through, you think, okay, that was great. Now what? Well, there's another sea. There's always seas to be splitting. So everything you want to know about what Joel's discussing here is in the show notes. So just remember, you want to share this with 5 people because you want to touch 2.5 million people around the world with it. This is historic. This is important. This is valuable. And love us on Spotify and on Apple. So you gave us the acronym for Rosetta, and now you want to bring us to another acronym for FIRE. I want to pause you for a moment and let's just sit with this issue of Rosetta Stone, which you have turned in what we call the Rosetta Universe, that you are embarking upon bringing the replica of the Rosetta Stone to cities throughout the United States and possibly even the world. So in just a couple of minutes, give us what's going on with the Rosetta Universe.
With the Rosetta Universe, we have, for instance, on our advisory board, folks like Smokey Robinson. We have Dr. Ben Carson, who was the first to successfully separate Siamese twins. We have also Kathy Hughes, who is the founder of the 7th largest media network in the country, United States, and a bunch of other people that are on the advisory board that are phenomenal people. And so what we're planning to do is to first raise the funds that we can then create a 5,000 square foot traveling exhibit that will travel all around North America for 7 years, 5 months in each venue, each science center, each museum, and then travel from point A to B to C to D for 7 years. At the once the template is done, and by the way, the first zone in the travel exhibit is a zone about the history of Napoleon and hieroglyphics and all the rest. When the second zone gets into the realm of code cracking, the Nazi Germans used the Enigma. We have the Cyrillic codes. We have in American baseball, the third base coach making all kinds of gestations, telling someone to slide or steal or whatever. We have the Navajo code talkers, all kinds of different ways that codes have been brought about to protect business intelligence and also international security. And so what happened in the second area is that we're going to talk about the code cracking. The third area gets into language and culture, how the two connect and sometimes interact and collide with each other. We're going to deal with, in that realm, around how important language is. For instance, if I could not read, I cannot drive. I can't go to a restaurant and open a menu. My whole life is very restricted. But once I learn how to read, it opens up all kinds of doors. The same holds true with understanding ancient peoples, is that when the code to hieroglyphics was cracked, it's like, oh, wow, that battle happened. Oh, wow, that family system existed. Oh, that town existed. Oh, women were paid for their work. Oh, here's a receipt. And so all of a sudden, the whole understanding of the ancient peoples of ancient Egypt, all it comes alive in such a wonderful way.
Yeah, I want to put you on pause for a moment because just so people understand, we're talking about a traveling exhibit. You say, okay, that's interesting. Big deal. Well, it is a big deal. I don't know the statistics offhand. We'll have to find when the what they call the King Tut exhibit went around the United States. I think even the world. The Tut is short for Tutankhamun. When that exhibit went around the world, it attracted hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people.
It's true.
And it did not include the ability to understand codes, to understand other languages, to understand the things that Joel was on. This is a very big gig. And you're hearing it first here. And it's so wonderful, Joel. Just it's fabulous. Now, I'm going to put you on pause. Everybody's on the edge of the scene saying, what's more? What are you going to talk about? Well, we'll be right back with these brief messages. Remember, we wouldn't have these sponsors on. We didn't think they're worthy of your time and attention. Be right back after this brief message. More Joel on the other side.
What if you could shop at your favorite local stores, swipe your current credit card, and get extra cashback rewards? And what if you could also have donations sent to your favorite cause at no extra cost to you? What if this amazing program was absolutely free and very simple to set up? Well, What If is here. Welcome to Einstein Cares, where your everyday shopping gives you and your favorite cause extra money. It's fast, it's easy, and effortless.
Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. You'll be good-looking. Joel was looking for and finding the good. He found good in abundance. His name is Dr. Joel Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N. Everything you want to know about Joel and the Rosetta Project is in the show notes. Remember, you want to share those with 5 people. You want to share with 50 or 100, it's up to you. But at least 5 so we can touch 2.5 million people around the world. Love us on Spotify and Apple. And we left Joel. He's talking about the ability of this the Rosetta Universe to be a traveling exhibit that will go around North America first and then eventually the world, which will open up your mind. See, one of the reasons we do this podcast is because we care about you. It's not about Joel, great guy that he is, or about Barry, that fabulous fellow. This show is about you, you being the best you. So that's really what the Rosetta Universe is about. How it cracks the code for you so you can be happier, healthier, and wealthier. So I interrupted you and put you on pause for the moment. We went to the break, and we were talking about the idea of the Rosetta Universe traveling around. I want to interject that this show, of course, is called The Joy of Living, and JOY is a wonderful acronym. It stands for Journey of You. Now, your journey, Joel, through being, as a for working with National Basketball Association, writing a book on Black history, co-authoring a book on Black history. And as I said, you held it up. I want people to understand, it's not a textbook on Black history. It is the Rosetta Stone of Black history. It is filled with pictures, with QR codes, with interaction, because that's what Joel is about. He understood or understands now. And this is how he fell in love with the Rosetta Stone. I'm saying this, you can disagree with me. Then when he saw that, he understood that this is what life is all about. Interaction of human beings and making sure that there is the ability to bridge miscommunication with communication. I love something you said. I was listening very intently, and you could just mention, wait a minute, in ancient Egypt, women were paid for work, and here's the receipt. Hello! People were complaining about taxes. Hello. These things transcend time and space. So what you're doing with Rosetta Universe, Joel, is not just important. It's mandatory. We only have a few more minutes. I'd like you, please, just to speak about when you were in working with the NBA, we're only going to invest a few minutes just right now, maybe another time we'll do more. When you were doing something with the NBA, what did you find to be the most important aspect of what you were doing with the team?
Well, most of all, and I'd like to share a little bit more about the international vision of the Rosetta Stone to bring completion to that. But I had no mentor. I was 25 when I started, looked 15 years of age. I was intimidated, fearful, because their position in life attracts a lot of insincere people. And I just knew I had to love these guys unconditionally. Number two, I had to keep everything in confidence. There's things I will go to my grave with that I know that I have not told my wife or anyone else. And it just that's the way you operate. And what happens, never ask for money of anybody in that realm. And just to be there always paying, offering to pay and offering to be their friend and to let them know that you are trustworthy. That's the big thing. Worthy of their trust. Because once again, you know, players at that level, they don't know for sometimes 6, 7, 8 years what the real motivation is of someone trying to get close to them. Because they always have people coming at them in different ways. Give me your autograph. Can you best this business? Can you say hi to my girlfriend or my boyfriend on the phone here or something like that? It's just, there's always something coming at them wanting something from them. And I said, I'm just going to be that person that's going to give, just give, and nothing, expecting nothing in return. And they were like shocked. It takes, you know, I survived 6 coaching changes, 3 GM changes. That's the biggest miracle of all. Right. And to be able to be with these guys and to have them trust me, that was, I mean, it's like, where does that happen? It's an amazing. And what drove me, what compelled me is I wanted to spend time with one person who could then impact millions. Where do you sign up for a gig like that? I mean, it just is an opportunity that is beyond description.
So I want to, first of all, thank you for being capable of articulating what I wanted to hear. You mentioned 3 things, and I want to share that this is a great way to complete this section of our podcast today. You created a relationship of trust. There is nothing greater in the world than trust of human being to human being. And you experienced it. It takes years. Number two, you understood that in the world of professional athletes, they're in the world of taking. Everybody is wanting to take from them. That's all the experience is taking. Joel came and said, I'm a giver, without saying it. He was there. Giving is the greatest muscle that the human being has. And when you activate it and use it regularly, you know what happens? You create trust. When you create trust, you create better human beings. These professional athletes, and you're talking about in the NBA, you're talking about the cream of the cream of the cream, because there are tens of thousands of people capable of playing at that level, and yet a minute percentage actually make the team and stay there because it's such pressure. And it becomes, when you only in the world of taking, it takes from you and creates not a great star, but a person that is drained. When you have someone who's a giver, it can fill the cup. And that's what you did. And thank you for that. And on that high note, I want to mention that it's just for me to have Joel on the show today is such a delight. I'm sorry to even use these words, Joel. We're coming to a close on our time now together for this round. I have 3 quick questions for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, will you come back again?
Yes.
Woo! Joel Freeman, you only have 80 seconds to answer this question. What is your most fervent desire?
I'm a man of faith, and I came through it through the back door with my feet in the dirt, probably one of the most reluctant people to be a man of faith. But my desire is to bring the invisible, make the invisible visible as much as possible. And for God to borrow my humanity with his divinity to make an invisible God visible is a daily task. It's a daily joy. It's a daily life that I live. And I just think it's important to live our lives outside of ourselves, because we know, we understand who's in us. And it just, to me, it's just, you know, what matters a million years from now is what really matters.
To make the invisible visible. Everybody listening. And right now there will be, we'll call, because people are going to share, millions of people are nodding their heads and understanding and recognizing really that's what they want to do. Make the invisible, what's inside of them, visible to the world and bring about a shift in perspective. Okay, number three, Joel, may I give you a hug in front of 11,927 around the world? Let me tell you what HUG stands for. Heartfelt, unlimited giving. Are you ready, sir?
Yes, I am.
Three, one, two,
three. I love it. I love it.
And now, again, remember, you're listening to The Joy of Living with your own host, Barry Shore, and our amazing guest, Joel Freeman. And you're listening here because you care the most in the entire world about you. That's why you turned in, because when you're the best you, you make the world a better place. And we know we discussed the three fundamentals of life. And these are, number one, life. Your life has purpose. You lead a purpose-driven life, you go mad. Mad is a great acronym that stands for make a difference, like Joel's doing in the world. And you are doing in the world. And the third is to uncover the power and the secrets of everyday words and terms, such as WWW, what a wonderful world. Smile, seeing miracles in life every day. With my eight-year-old niece, seeing miracles in everyday life. Create the kind of world you want to live in, causing rethinking, enabling all to excel. That's what Joel is all about, rethinking. Create that shift in perspective. Keep that F in place or the other stuff happens. And when you do that, you can internalize, utilize, and leverage the six most important words you'll ever learn. And these are choice, not chance, determines your destiny. How you choose to respond in any given situation will allow you to have your path in life and your trajectory. Learn to use four-letter words. Now, of course, the four-letter words we use, we live in the world of positive, purposeful, powerful, pleasant life, live, hope, play, pray, free, give, swim, fun. Fun, that's right, F-U, capital N, capital S. After the show, see your family, friends, a twinkling eye, a smile on your face, point your fingers, F-U, everybody. You say, what are you talking about? Yeah, capital N, capital N, where'd you get that? So I listened to Barry Shore. He had Joel Freeman on. You know what the Rosetta Stone is? You know how much we're going to change life, making the invisible visible, and you can share with them. And remember to love us on Spotify and Apple, share this with five people. And we have a blessing from Barry and Joel. And the blessing is go forth. Live exuberantly. Spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Go mad. Go make a difference. Joel, don't go away.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Joy of Living podcast. Now that's another step towards your healthier, happier, and wealthier life. Never hesitate to do good in the world, no matter what the situation. Join us for another upbeat discussion next time at barryshore.com. And be sure to leave a rating and subscribe to the show to get more conversations like this. And remember to share it with your family and friends too. See you on the next episode.